Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. Yeah. We are so glad to be back. The last couple of weeks, we are in Terrorize Bible Study Daybreak, which I think a lot of us are going through trials and tribulations, and we need to know.
We do.
Joy is coming. Joy is a choice any day, but daybreak deliverance is on its way.
Totally, completely. And we have been talking about Moses, and in particular, we have been really examining in Exodus 3, the verses 7 through 10, where God is talking to Moses and he is telling him his plan of what he's doing. And we've been looking at, through this passage, we've seen that God sees, God hears, God cares. God has come down and God rescues. Jeez. Sabrina ended us with that wonderful thought. He is the one who is coming to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians. They have been in bondage for 400 years.
That's a long time.
Not only in bondage for 400 years, but they have been 400 years without a prophet of God speaking.
Wow.
Moses is the first one since it ended 400 years back with Joseph.
That's a really, that could be a whole nother study.
And like, that in that of itself right is there. Extremely profound.
It is. Okay.
And he says, I'm coming because I want to bring you to a better place. So not only does God see, hear, care, come, and rescue, but God doesn't want us to stay where we're at. He does not want us to be in bondage. I mean, that's huge.
It is.
And if you want, you could go in a whole nother study. As Sabrina would say, go to Isaiah 61 and read what Isaiah 61 about how set Jesus has come to set the captives free and to break the chains of bondage and those that are in prison.
Bring good news.
That's it. And turn mourning to gladness. I mean, ashes to beauty. God really wants to bring us out of where we're at. So I don't know what pit you can allow yourself to get into, or what pit you have walked into, or what struggle, trial, tribulation you need to know and understand, and I need to know and understand. God wants to take us out to a better place.
Right, of milk and honey.
Amen. It's the promised land. And not only that, but he will send us help when we need it. He says
God.
To Moses, okay, this is it. Moses, he says, I'm sending you,
Aaron.
Moses, to Pharaoh. There you go, Moses.
Okay, I'm ahead of the story.
Yeah, you're ahead. That's all right. That's all right. He's going to have his brother Aaron. You're right. But I'm sending you to pull the people out of Egypt. Now, what we have to go back and we have to remember what we talked about the first week.
Right.
Moses was raised Egyptian. He was also raised Hebrew. So Moses knew how well equipped the Egyptian army was. He knew how strong the military captains were. He knew about their equipment, their chariots. He knew what he was going to be confronted by because he had been raised as right. an Egyptian. He knew both worlds. And he's like, God. And he's just sitting there thinking, who am I?
Confused.
Well, he's scared. He's reluctant. Yeah. Realizes that it's impossible that this he could do this. And he's like, his exact words in 3:11, he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?
Right.
He's the man that has fled and lived in the desert for 40 years in the mountains, you know, away from civilization as a shepherd.
Do we know how old he is at this time?
He was 40 when he fled, so that means that Moses would have been 80 years old.
When this is all happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I'm thinking, if I remember correctly, that's the case. There's several instances of different people that it's not until they're 80 that God really begins to do their ministry.
But 80 is not the same 80 that we think.
No,
okay.
It's not. And I had a wonderful, delightful friend ask me recently at the Open Door Mission, and a big shout out to my beloveds there that listen, and Clarence in particular. I know that you listen weekly and send me regular updates telling us that you are praying for us, and I just want to say thank you, Clarence. Mm-hmm. But one of my friends at the Open Door Mission said, so why are the ages so much older in the Old Testament than they are in the
right,
New
that's
Testament
a great
and
question.
Present day? And I responded back and said, you know, with the introduction of sin, God intended us to live forever
right.
in the Garden of Eden. And when sin came in, the introduction of sin, as it began to continue and grow within the human race, the years shorten within the lives of the people. And they don't live as long because the consequences and the ramifications of sin entering humanity caused things to tear down our life expectancy. And so that's why our lives are shorter than what theirs actually were. But with this particular passage, you need to understand is God says, Moses, I'm sending you. And Moses is reluctant. He's like, wait a minute. I know Egypt. I know what's going on. And what I want you to understand is that sometimes in our encounters with God, it will stir up inside us an unrest.
Speak.
Okay? Something happens inside us when we have an encounter with God, when we see God is moving, when God is revealing to us he's about to do a new thing. A sense of unrest begins to happen inside us. And things aren't what, we're not content with things as they are. But that doesn't mean we're not content in God. And this was a huge revelation for me because contentment is extremely important when we are in Christ, to have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, to guard our heart and our mind, to be content in God. But there is a time when we have encountered God, and that's what happened to Moses, that discontent with the status quo, because God is about to move with you and use you as called out to do a new thing.
Behold, I come to make all the things new.
That's exactly right.
Isaiah.
He is taking him out of his comfort zone. Mm. Now, recently I posted on my Facebook, and I really want you to think on this because this is one of those that you got to think on. God cares more about my character than my comfort. That is like, ouch. Okay, God. Because quite honestly, I like my comfort zone. I like where I'm at. I like who I am. I like my people. Yet God will move people. He will change things. He will allow circumstances to happen so that a spirit of unrest will begin to happen because God has something for Moses to do.
Oh, wow.
And so oftentimes when that sense of reluctance happens in us, we think, I can't do this because I'm not equipped.
Right.
We're going to see this unfold in Moses' life. I can't do this. Or we think, I'm not called. When we have that sense of reluctance, I'm not called, we might say that. Another question we might ask or happen is often with reluctance, we'll know, we just don't know the reality of what tomorrow holds. And so that fear of tomorrow, today hits us, and that kind of makes us stop. We're not willing to take that step forward.
Well, right before the piece that surpasses all understanding, it says, be anxious for nothing.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Because if you can't have worry and peace in the same time.
You can't, and that's where you have to lay it down.
That's right.
And so let's connect with some things that we talked about last week. We talked about that God was letting Moses know he has a lineage. His lineage is holy, and it's consistent. God is letting him know that he has an inheritance. Now, what I want you to understand is that with the inheritance is something that he has to take possession of.
Mm.
Okay? Have you ever heard the story? It's like a really common thread story about so-and-so died and they left a book to a child or a grandchild. And they were so upset that it was just a book that they never opened it.
Yes.
But then, you know, like 20 years later, the book is open and they find out that it's got the tag for them to receive the monetary inheritance. An inheritance is not yours until you possess it.
Oh, I love that.
Okay? It is not yours until you possess it. Okay? Someone has to release the inheritance and then someone has to possess it.
Possess the land.
Yes. And he has told him, I have called you to go and take back the land. Okay? And so he is the one that's being sent to bring back the spacious land. Now, what I want you to understand is that's a delightful land. And there's a Psalm 16:6 that supports this so well. And it says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Mm. When we are walking in the path that God's called us to, when we are willing to go in obedience when God says go, we will know what it means to have the delightful inheritance of pleasant places. When we grumble and complain, or when we walk in disobedience, I'll give you a perfect example. When the Israelites were finally able to go into the promised land, and God had all of the nation of Israel that grumbled and complained in the wilderness, killed them off, waited till they died. And so it's their children are the ones that get to go and possess the land. God said very clearly that when it came to the battle of Jericho in Joshua 6, he said, do not take anything for yourself. This battle, everything within this battle will belong to me. It's devoted because it's the very first battle within the battle of Jericho. So everything belonged to God, almost as if that battle of Jericho was a tithe unto God. Achan was there in the presence of Joshua, when he told the declaration of what God commanded. He heard that everything within Jericho was devoted unto God. But Achan decided to take some of the plunder and he buried it under his tent. God said, you will be destroyed. God found him out, and the whole nation was about to be disciplined until he revealed to Joshua. Achan was brought before Joshua, and he said, my son, tell me everything that you have done. Because God, through his spirit, revealed to Joshua it was Achan. And so Achan then declared everything. He said, I saw it. I wanted it. So I took it. And because of that, he was stoned to death, as well as his entire family. God, when he has an inheritance for us, he gives us guidelines of how to possess it. And we don't want to get outside of those guidelines. Achan got outside and he reaped the discipline of the Lord. And there are times that if we choose to go outside of what God has intended for us, we will reap discipline for our actions. And we have to be wise to make sure that we're willing to walk the path that God has made clear, and that we're not trying to set up our own standard of what God has said. One of the ways that Christendom, I shouldn't even say that it's Christendom, one of the things that is happening right now in our world, let me just say it that way, when it comes to the Word of God, it is the inerrant Word of God. There is nothing in this Bible that's not true.
Right. Okay? Proverbs 35.
Yes. But we have churches that are proclaiming something that are not true, that this Bible does not say. And they're saying it's truth. They will reap discipline for their actions. Okay? We have to greatly, greatly make sure that we know the Word of God and that we're clear to follow through with what he said when he says the way we're supposed to follow through. Okay? And because what he has is, he says, I have this inheritance for you, and it's delightful. He says it's for all nations. He says, I want you to rise up in Psalm 82:8. And he says, oh God, judge the earth, for all nations are your inheritance. God wants to bring all people to him. Okay. And then in Proverbs 3:35, it's also the inheritance. It brings honor. He says the wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. And then the other thing I want you to get about the inheritance is that the Lord is the inheritance of the priest. And I want you to think about this, because in the Old Testament, the priest didn't receive land. They weren't given land like the other tribes were given land to possess. God said, for the priest, I am their inheritance. What are we, Sabrina, described as in the New Testament?
A royal priesthood, a chosen generation.
Okay, so who is our inheritance? If it was for the Old Testament that the Lord is their inheritance, is he our inheritance?
Oh, yeah. God is our inheritance.
That's right.
I mean, we are his chosen generation.
That's exactly it.
From the bloodline of Christ.
That's right. It's amazing. And so here we have our share in the inheritance, and that's God. Okay, so our inheritance, it can be delightful. It's for all people. It brings honor, and the Lord is our inheritance. I mean, it's a blessing of what he's given. And Moses is, I don't know about this. I'm reluctant. He's afraid to go forward. And he says to God, you know, who am I to do this? And he says to God, what will I say? You know, it's like, how will I explain to them? And God says to him, I will be with you. right? There are times that we are going to struggle and we don't know how to grasp on in the circumstances. And I know each of us, those whether we believe in God or not, we have struggles. We're wanting to know, what do I hold on to? There's one truth that you need to understand that God's made clear from Genesis to Revelation. The whole point behind the Bible is God revealing that He is a present God. He's here.
Ever-present.
He is with us. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So when we are struggling and we don't understand our circumstances, if there's only one truth that we can hold on to, cry out to the God that says, I will be with you. And ask God to help you see He's near. Ask God to help you see how He is actively working in your circumstances, even when you don't understand the circumstances and it seems like the circumstances are working against you. God is with you. He was with the Israelites when they were in Egypt. And He is with us in our circumstances as well. And it's a matter of us calling upon Him and saying, I have an inheritance. God, you tell me in the New Testament, I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen child of the King, co-heir to your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me to see you are present in my life. Help me to see you. And when we do that, God will reveal Himself to us. I had a little person say to me recently, I won't believe in God until I see God. And my response was, can you see the wind? And the answer was, I can see the movement of the leaves when the wind blows them. I said, you're right. You see the movement of the leaves, but you can't see the wind. It's the same with God. You can't see Him, but you can see the movement of God as it moves within the lives around you. And so when you are looking to see God, look amongst the people of God to see how He is moving amongst them. And when we are willing to look for the movement of God, we will see Him. And when you see God moving, you will believe in Him. Chuck Misler, he's a really great, phenomenal Bible study teacher. You should look him up. He's at khouse.org. And he has a saying that he says, when you go into the Bible and you look at any encounter of somebody who has encountered God, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, they never doubt that they have been in the presence of God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. You could not tell Moses that he had not been in the presence of God with that burning bush. Moses knew without a doubt he had encountered God.
Right.
A person who has been in the presence and the movement of God does not doubt it.
Wow.
That's because that's part of the inheritance.
They don't doubt it.
That's right. There's never, in examples of the Bible. We're so glad that you've been listening to us. We hope to hear from you at Cultivating Hearts. God bless. Thank you.